Blog Talk Radio.
You have just tuned in to an episode of Paranormal Horizons with your hosts, Jason Ophir, Sherry Pang, and Maria Wilson Duff. Stay tuned as we enter into the world of the paranormal, a world of ghosts, UFOs, and generally anything unexplained. The show is about to begin.
Oh, I'm sorry, kitty, I'm sorry.
Welcome to another episode of Paranormal Horizons. Paranormal Horizons. I'm Jason Ophir here with Maria Wilson Duff. And thanks for tuning in. Let's talk a little bit about the paranormal. How's it going, Maria?
Maybe.
Hopefully. Maybe not. Who knows what we're going to talk about tonight? We have no guest.
Oh, my God. We are unsupervised.
That's always a scary thing. What have you been up to this week?
I have a new baby calf.
Oh, very cool. Is it going to end up on the dinner plate at some point?
Probably. But anyways, right now I'm real happy because it's a baby and I can play with it. And then I'll send it off to the market and then we'll see what happens from there.
Oh, don't become too attached.
I learned not to do that a long time ago.
You know, I learned that too. Don't be attached to people or things. That way you never get let down.
This is true, but it can also make your life very boring.
Yeah, I suppose. We can still have fun, just don't get attached.
Well, I like to play with my little calves out there. I've got 8 now, and there's one of them. They all have different personalities, and one of them's real pushy, so I have to smack him on the nose every once in a while. But, you know, kind of like you have to do people, keep them in line.
Yeah, which is normally a bad idea because you don't want to end up in jail for smacking people. There are certainly people out there that deserve it.
Well, I can get away with a lot more than what you can, just because I'm a female.
Well, that's true. And I'm a big old male. Well, not much going on this end, and I am a big guy. Well, tall. I mean, I'm a little obese, too, but I'm pretty big. What's been going on with me this week? Let's see. I've had a temporary crown put on. A tooth.
Yeah.
I have a temporary crown put on my tooth.
Yuck.
Yeah, that was fun. And I still have 2 more crowns I got to do. A lot of dental work. It amazes me how much this stuff costs. Even with insurance, it's ridiculous. Other thing going on, I discovered yesterday I was driving my new hoopty. I have a newish car, 3-year-old sports car, but I also purchased a Ford Escape 05 with 144,000 miles. I've had it for about a month. Driving home and the battery light came on, and I was like, oh, that's not good. And I mean, I know the thing was going to break down, but I mean, what, after driving it for 200-300 miles? So I took it down to one of these auto shop places, and I scanned the battery, and the battery's fine, and it's not getting enough voltage from the alternator. So I've got to replace an alternator, and in the Ford Escape, it is like, I don't see how you can get to it without pulling the whole engine out, honestly. But, yeah, so that's going to be fun. So I'm going to call tomorrow and see how much that is. I'm anticipating. Alternators aren't very expensive, but the labor, I think, is going to be a lot. I'm guessing somewhere between $500 and $800.
No. Gosh, no way.
Yeah, it's weird. You know, usually when you have most cars, I don't remember what they call it, if the engine's transverse or whatever, everything's on front. So you basically just take the belt off, you unplug the you unscrew the alternator, unbolt it, whatever, and you plug it in and put the belt back on, you're fine. But this alternator is at the bottom rear of the engine, and it's so tight back there, I can't even touch it. Like, I can't reach down the engine compartment to even get to it. Now, I assume they're coming up from the bottom, but even there, it doesn't look like any room, so I don't know how they're going to do it. So I imagine the labor on that's going to be expensive. So that's one of my struggles. But on the good note, it's a spare car. So, I mean, if it's got to park on the street, I mean, I have the money to fix it. But, you know, that's it. What else has been going on? I felt like there was something else. Now, I did want to go over our experience we had. But before I do that, I want to cover a news story. Maria and I had a very interesting and traumatic experience recently. But before I do that, there was something I ran across a paranormal article, and that was in relation to the Zach Bagans Haunted Museum, which you're familiar with, right?
Yes, 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 yes.
And this isn't recent. This was last year or a year or two ago. And I did see the video back then because I believe it's on one of his episodes, but there's a rapper called Post Malone who I'm not going to comment on his appearance. He was there getting, you know what I'm talking about, don't you?
Yeah, exactly. He's been on one of Zach Bagans' shows.
Yeah, I saw that one too. Yeah, interesting fellow. So he went down there, and you know they have this Dybbuk box, which is apparently the most haunted object in the world. And the Dybbuk box goes back to the whole Jewish thing where they do a ritual to trap a spirit in a box, and they seal it with wax. And if you open it, or you know, the spirit comes out and murders you. So Post Malone and Zach Bagans were there, and it's on video because that place is covered with cameras. And Zach, like, touches the box or opens the box, and Post Malone doesn't even touch the box, but he touches Zach Bagans, and he has had a string of bad luck since that episode took place. And here are the things that Post Malone is attributing to that experience with Zach Bagans. So first, he was in a plane emergency when two tires of his private jet blew out on the runway. A few days later, his old house was broken into by gun-toting invaders. A week after that, he was involved in a car crash when his Rolls Royce collided with another car and stuff like that. So is it just a string of bad luck, or did he get a little bit of Dybbuk? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. I think also it wasn't long either after that. I think he also got arrested. Or something.
Yeah, don't be playing with dark boxes.
I think it was so funny on that one episode that he was on with Zach Bagans. He was so scared. They left him by himself, and he was like flipping out. I just, you know, if you're not sure what you're playing with, you don't need to be playing with it.
You know, I'm Captain Skeptical, and I would go to the museum, but I don't think I'd touch anything. I mean, just because I don't believe in something doesn't mean it's going to, you know, haunt me or follow me home.
If you ever walked into that museum, that place would probably light up and you would have shit following you home. You've got that kind of energy.
Yeah. You know, I'm probably like Whoopi Goldberg, and I'll come home and start talking to dead people, and shit will start moving around the house, and the cats will be acting weird, and like the walls will bleed, and yeah, the toilet will overflow. I mean, who knows? The possibilities are endless.
I can handle the walls bleeding. I don't want my toilet to overflow, though.
I know, right? So you and I had an opportunity to meet fairly recently, and I wanted to cover this story really briefly and get into more detail after the hypnotherapy session I've scheduled in 2 weeks. But we met, and I was hungry because I hadn't eaten that day, and I suggested Marie and I go to Chick-fil-A. She protested vehemently because she hates Chick-fil-A, but I never had Chick-fil-A, so I had to try the Chick-fil-A. It was convenient, and I have to say I didn't really get to enjoy it because it was cold. Well, why was it cold? It wasn't Chick-fil-A's fault. So I don't know how you recollect what happened that fateful day. I remember ordering the food. We went through, and the next thing I remember, had the food. We're on this like some weird country side road, and like an hour had gone by. I don't know, like, how does that happen? Was I tripping balls? Did somebody drug my curly fries? What do you remember?
All I know is that I heard, "Welcome to Chick-fil-A. May I take your order, please?" And the next thing I know is we're on a deserted road, and we're kind of looking at each other like, how the hell did we get here?
It was weird.
I do remember a bright light. I do remember the bright light. Past that, I have no idea.
I don't remember a bright light, but I checked the receipt. We definitely paid for the food, or I paid for my food. Yeah. Like,
yeah.
What is happening?
I don't know.
I try and visualize, okay, I remember ordering the food. I kind of remember getting the food, but I kind of don't. And then after that, it's like progressively blurry from the ordering the food is very clear. And then it just kind of fades out. Like, I don't know. It's tripping me out. Like,
well, somehow or
but
another,
then I kind of,
you were able to get the food.
Well, something happened from the point of pulling out of that Chick-fil-A. Like aliens, like how do you get abducted pulling out of a Chick-fil-A? Like, is there like a mother ship that's hovering above a Chick-fil-A that's like, oh, look at them. There's Jason and Maria. Let's just beam them up when they pull out. But let's let them get their food first.
Yeah, you're going to need some substance after that probing you got.
Well, and that leads into the next thing is I was suffering from some physical abnormalities. And I'm not going to blame them on Chick-fil-A. It was delicious. It was cold, but it was delicious. And I was having some very strange gastrointestinal upset, which wasn't the Chick-fil-A, I know that. You know, very, very odd. So sore in places that I'm not used to being sore at, if you know what I'm saying, if you get my drift. If you're following me down to Browntown.
Well, you know, you don't really know that it was aliens. Maybe somebody slipped you a Mickey in your Chick-fil-A.
Yeah, but you didn't have anything. So how – you didn't get no Mickey? There's like some sort of weird – like a mind ray or something that we were zapped with. And I ended up bottoms up on some alien spacecraft or some government laboratory that was conducting experimental colonoscopies or something.
My labs. Yeah. That explains the road rash.
Road rash?
You didn't have road rash?
No. Well, I had like a little like vaginitis under my armpits.
Where they were hanging you up from the hairs of your armpits?
Yeah, something like that. Folliculitis? Yeah, I don't know. They must have dragged you to the ship. I probably went willing. I was like, yeah, hell yeah. Okay, I can't do this any longer. We're just completely making this up. This did not happen.
Yeah, I've not left Kentucky, and he's not left Oregon.
Yeah, Kentucky, Oregon, yeah, that's a long ways. This is what happens when we're left unsupervised, when Sherry's not here to moderate us.
I know. The teacher is out of the classroom.
Oh, God. You know, we did it a couple times, I think. It was like a paranormal parody. And I kind of want to do it again. It's where I have somebody call in with just the most ridiculous, made-up nonsense you've ever heard. And it was so funny. And I did it one time on a radio station, an actual radio station, years ago. And it was all set up. Like, the people at the radio station, that, you know, knew it was all planned out, and Man, could I spin a wave of crazy. My story was, and I just pulled this out of my butt, my story was that I was, like, living in my parents' basement. I'd fell in love with an alien, and I just made all this weird stuff happen. I was, like, some lonely, obese, single guy. Making it with, like, a Nordic alien in my mom's basement. It was so funny.
You need to start writing those stories again. That would be pretty fun.
It would just be fun. And, you know, we wouldn't fake people out. It would be like, you know, hey, this is a parody, blah, 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 blah. And, yeah, it's great stuff. But we've had a couple guests on the show in years past that you wonder if they're parodying us, and I've been a few that were just like, the stories are so outlandish and unbelievable and crazy, but you can hear in their voice, like, they totally believe it, you know? It's like, and you're trying to keep your composure, you know, because you're hearing something that's so out there. And there's stuff out there that's legit and stuff like that, don't get me wrong, but some of the things we've had have been absolutely crazy.
We really have. I mean, and it's the stories that come out, you know, just this week, we've had that story that's come out about radio signals that apparently have been repeating. And like every 16 days, and then it gets quiet. So as many years as we've had these huge satellite systems out in the middle of the desert, and they're listening constantly, and just now we're starting to pick up these bursts. Why is it happening just now? And is this being made up?
Are they able to, like, I don't know how that works. I'm not that smart, to triangulate where the source is, like a particular system?
I haven't read into it very much to find out, but I don't really think that they have pinpointed it yet. But you can go online, and there is a recording of that, you can hear it.
Hmm.
And you can so you will know what they are hearing. It just all blows my mind, because I would absolutely love to know why now. You can't tell me they've not heard some type of radio signals in the past, but now all of a sudden, since the mainstream media has jumped into the UFO stuff, that they're just now hearing and letting us know about radio signals coming from outer space.
Mm-hmm. I wish I knew more how that works. The first thing that comes to my mind as a skeptic is, when I was young, I used to be really into CB radios. I mean, I was like a hick. Like, I had a 89 Dodge Daytona, the little blue sports car, and I had four CB antennas on it. And I think back to how ridiculous that looked. And I was running all this stuff, radio equipment you weren't supposed to be running, you know, like amplifiers. And
right.
But what comes to mind when I think of radio signals is, there's something that used to happen, and it's called skip, or we referred to it as SCIP, which was the range of your CB and your power output's like 4 watts. And hold on a second. There you go. My computer is bugging out. That was weird. I'm not even touching my computer and the volume just turned itself all the way down. Oh, wait, maybe I'm leaning on the headset. Anyway, so you have what's called SCIP. And so your range with a 4-watt regular CB receiver, you know, might be a few miles. But every once in a while when the atmosphere was right, radio signals bounce and you could talk to somebody on the other side of the country. And that was SCIP. So I wonder, and I'm sure it's not, but I just think of that when you're trying to detect radio signals, because we're constantly surrounded with radio signals.
It just kind of blows my mind that what are they called? The ham radio that a lot of people are into. That's what, you know, we kind of need to get back to that, because we need more people into that. Because we're into this digital thing, and I mean, I know here, I'm sure you've had to deal with this whenever for TVs, you just had your antenna or your rabbit ears up and you could get radio stations, and then they put it all onto a digital thing where you had to get a converter so you could get, because they were totally cut off the regular, made it to where you couldn't get it unless you had the digital converter. So then everybody's kind of wondering, okay, well, now that they've gotten everybody off of that signal or that frequency, what's going on there? Why did they move us over to all of this digital stuff? So there's always a conspiracy of something going on. But
and I
we
think,
need more
I...
of those ham radios. We really need them.
I think, and don't quote me, but I'm trying to pull this out of my memory. I believe there is a ham network, which is shortwave radio, that's either maintained by the government or it's maintained by private people. I know you have private ham operators, but I think it's in place in case everything goes down, but I could be totally wrong. But you're absolutely right. I mean, if we get a huge solar flare and it wipes out, you know, satellites and all this other stuff, there would be no way for people to communicate. And that's what I think the mentality of having that network is.
Did you ever hear about a huge UFO sighting over Kansas City, Missouri?
No, I may have. I don't. Recently?
It happened February 6th. And I got an email about it. And I'm going to see if I can pull that up while we're on the air. And what was so funny about it was that there were at least two members of MUFON that were witness to this. And it was absolutely huge. It was big enough that the witnesses thought that it was going to the airport, that it seemed the object was like a mile away, and it just seemed bigger than a 747 that comes flying through there. And when they come in that direction, they said you could watch them, and the airplanes, when they come in, and they'll turn a certain direction to get to the airport. Well, this one did not. And there were two or three different people that were witness to it. But it was a huge cigar-shaped object, and it had white lights on it and one red light. But it was at least, it was like 2,000 feet or lower. And it was moving, slow moving. And it never turned the direction that it needed to go as if it was an airplane. And then it just disappeared.
Well, that's
weird.
So I thought
that was really interesting.
Did they say what shape it was? Was it triangular?
It was cigar shaped.
Oh, you said that, yeah.
Yeah, it was cigar shaped. And it had like four, like if you were looking at it, and from left to right, it had a white light, then a red light, and then four white lights past it. And they saw it just the minute that she went to get her phone out to get video of it, of course, that's when it goes away.
I mean, I think a cigar shape, I think of like a, you know, that's a fuselage of an airplane. It's hard to say.
Right. And with it being that low and not making any noise, you know, and people, you know, when you're used to seeing your night sky and the patterns of airplanes are coming in and stuff, so when you look at something, you don't really think a whole lot about it. You just assume that it's an everyday normal event that's happening until it's not. And that's that split second that you realize, holy cow, that's not an airplane. That's not what I thought it was.
That's
and
interesting.
And then it disappears and you get absolutely nothing. You get no video, no nothing, no kind of evidence whatsoever. And but this lady, you know, several people, she was lucky enough that a few blocks down from where she was, another MUFON person was there to witness the same thing. And she was closer to it. So I think that's awesome in itself, because it's not, you know, MUFON, when I was in MUFON, you know, you get reports filed in constantly from just everyday people of sightings that they have, but to have two MUFON investigators to be able to be witness to this is incredible. And I hopefully there will be more information that will come out about it so we can follow up on it.
Did anybody contact air traffic control? Not that they're going to give anybody information, but
you know, around where I live, and we just have a smaller airport. It's smaller than Lexington, Kentucky's, but it is controlled by a military base. So no, you're not ever going to get any information out of them.
So your small commercial airport is operated by the military?
Yes.
Well, that's kind of lame.
Well, they kind of know what they're doing. You get no information.
When are they just going to open the books and let us know what's going on? That's what I want to
know. I honestly think one of the reasons why the government will never come out and say, okay, here it is. They have lied to us for forever. And you know, and I know you've seen articles, and I know you've paid attention to this, but back in the day, you know, this stuff was in the newspaper, and people talked about it, and you were still kind of labeled crazy, but then people saw it too, so they understood it. So when it came out in the newspaper, they believed in it, because they knew it was their neighbor that was down the road that saw it, and they know they're not crazy. But then it seemed like, you know, after a while, none of these sightings ever again were put into police reports. Nobody called the police anymore. They weren't in the newspapers. And it just kind of seemed like it all faded away. And then if you ever whispered it, you were labeled a nut job. They destroyed your family life. You more than likely would have gotten fired from your job. Just everything. But I think the reason why they don't tell anybody is because they want you to not believe. which makes
like
no sense.
It's like Roswell, when Roswell happened, you know, the headlines of the newspaper and the military saying, hey, we crashed saucer, you know. And then the next day, oh, no, it wasn't a saucer, it was a weather balloon. Yeah. Like the,
right.
Like the military
so it,
can't tell the difference between a weather balloon debris and, you know, a crash disc.
Yeah.
Please.
And you know that destroyed that man's life. It completely did. I just, you know, everybody would have believed and everybody would have just kept going on with their life. You know, it's like, oh, alien, you know, a UFO crash, they've got dead aliens. And everybody went on with their life. But for some reason, and I guess if there's something big, I don't know if it's the free energy thing. I don't know what it is, but they just don't want us to have anything to do with the extraterrestrials.
Well, that's unfortunate. I kind of want to meet E.T.
You already have. You're just denying it.
Well, that's possible. That's true. But I think the alien, I think my aliens aren't like a cute, bitty, little Reese's Pieces loving alien. They're like scary, big black eyes, turn your brain off aliens.
Well, and that's you know, and that's something else that's different, if you've ever noticed. Some people have good experiences, and some people have horrible, horrific experiences. So is one actually the aliens and the other one's my labs? Or is it just two separate species of aliens?
I keep hearing about the, you know, when we think of aliens, the one that first comes to mind is, you know, the black almond-shaped eyes, short. But you occasionally hear about these Nordic, which are humanoids. Did you, you know, doing the whole MUFON thing, how common is that, and what's the story behind them?
I heard a story, and it wasn't a case that came through me, but I heard a story of a preacher from Kentucky, and this happened in Kentucky. And he was at one of our national parks, and he was there with a group from the church. And this, it was a pretty lady, but he said it would notice, he just noticed that she was odd. She was different. She kind of stood out from the rest of everybody, and she was just jogging. And when he saw her, she looked at him. And her eyes did that reptilian thing.
Oh, like the little flappy thing that goes across?
Yes. It didn't blink like you normally do. It blinked from side to side, which just totally flipped him out. But, and the way he described her was that she was a Nordic. So then I'm like, okay. So what purpose and does she have here? I mean, what's, I don't know. It just, is Bigfoot like a big failure? You know, they tried to do something with it and it just ended up being this big hairy creature. But yet the Nordics have got it figured out. Are they not sharing information? What's going on?
I think the thing to take from this story is that kind of a PSA to the people in that area. If you go to the national parks, watch out for reptilian joggers.
Yeah, that would be a good idea.
They are out there. I don't know what I would do if I saw that. I suppose if I saw that and like wasn't my eyes twitching, I probably would try and stop the person and talk to them. Because I would have to, my mind would have to have some sort of resolution of, okay, did I just see that, you know?
Well, I think he kind of went through that. He was like, surely to goodness, but that I just didn't make that up, that wasn't a brain glitch. He thinks the reason why that happened was because he was a preacher. He was a man of God. So in his mind, these are like not godly type spiritual beings. That's where his mind took it.
Well, I do see those videos on YouTube that people are saying, you know, a bunch of people in the media are reptilians because they show close-ups while they're on camera and their eyes do a weird glitch and they're like, oh, yeah, look at that, they're aliens. But I don't buy those because, you know, that's just digital, you know, glitches. You know what I'm talking about, right? Where they're like, oh, my God, that person's, you know, reptilian. Look at her eyes there for a split second and like two frames. They kind of did this weird thing. You know.
Yes, I've seen that, and I've got a good chuckle out of it, especially the one where when Hillary Clinton had her little seizure thing and her head was jerking back and forth.
Oh, I didn't see that.
Yeah. Oh, you didn't see that?
No.
Was another reporter that was coming up and was talking to her, and she turned around and looked at her, and her head jerked back and forth. 3 or 4 times. They made a huge deal out of that, but that was more like a small little seizure thing that she was going through other than trying to make her out as an evil reptilian.
But what if it's like Men in Black? I don't know which one it was. I don't remember which had the miniature alien in the head. You know what I'm talking about? Where the body was all run by that little tiny cute thing in the head. What if it was that?
Yeah, they had a gun to blow it up.
Oh, we're just never going to know, unfortunately. I don't think that disclosure is going to come, you know, full and complete disclosure. The government wants us to be puppets. They don't want us to think about these things. They want us to go to work, pay our taxes, you know, shove pharmaceuticals down our throats to keep us suppressed. And they don't want people to know the truth because they don't want free thinkers. They want slaves. We are
right.
All slaves.
Yep, and all that leads back to Agenda 21. Pretty scary. That's like this. Exactly. They want controlled population. They want you to live in little areas and, you know, I don't know. It drives me nuts. Every time that I read that, I have to put that book down because it just pisses me off because it's something that the UN wants they want to control the whole freaking world. And it's just, and people don't realize that it's slowly and surely creeping in and has been over the years until we got this last president, and he's not having any of it. The UN has no business whatsoever controlling us, trying to tell us what we can and can't do. And they make it all sound wonderful by they're trying to get rid of famine, which, yes, there are so many countries that, gosh, they're in horrible shape. I mean, they're just, it's awful. But it's not our responsibility to take care of them.
Did you say famine?
Yeah, famine.
I thought you said salmon, and I was like, why does the government want to get rid of salmon? Salmon's awesome. We should be saving the salmon, Maria.
Have you not had any supper yet?
Oh, I haven't. I'm hungry.
Apparently. And you country that you can have salmon.
Yes. Well, Northwest is all about the salmon. We salmon peeps up here.
You have fish tacos, Jason.
I do not have fish. I don't even remember the last time I had a fish taco.
What?
No, I got like some ribs and mashed potatoes waiting for me. Mm-mm.
Oh, that sounds yummy. Well, you got another 20 minutes before you can eat it.
Well, they're the pre-marinated ones, cheap ones from grocery outlet. So my expectations are really low, but it'll probably still be Okay.
Oh, if you season it just right, it doesn't matter.
Yeah. Oh, but so the conspiracy, I was going to say something. I can't remember what I was going to say. But yeah, there's so much stuff going on behind closed doors, decisions being made, probably nefarious things that, you know, that go against our population that we don't even know about, testing. And we know this because there's declassified documents from 50 years ago where they were doing stuff. And I've always maintained that, you know, if they're declassifying documents and testing citizens in the U.S., without their knowledge or consent, imagine what they're doing now. It's scary with the way technology has gone, what the government is capable of.
Well, I mean, you look at the coronavirus. And my thing about that is, isn't it funny that our president now has been bickering back and forth with China, and they've been, you know, we're going to tax you on this and we're going to tax you on that, and we're not going to accept any more of your imports. You know, you're going to pay this tariff and you're going to do this. And you don't hear anything about that. But then all of a sudden, and our economy is just booming and the stock market's up and everything's beautiful. Then all of a sudden, this little virus comes out. And anytime something happens in China, our stock market seems to come down. Even though it's not affecting, you know, jobs or anything like that, the stock market starts to come down. And then you hear about all these people that are dying in China and things like that. But what drives me crazy is that there are thousands of people that die in the U.S. every year from these little measly flu that we have here. And it's only because they're not staying hydrated, or they don't go to the doctor to get the medication that helps them and things like that. Over in China, they're just piling them up in rooms and they're not doing anything for them. They're not getting any kind of medical. They're just sticking them in a quarantine and leaving them.
If you don't want the coronavirus, then just drink a Heineken.
Exactly. That's what I'm trying to say. Drink a German
stay
beer.
Stay away from coronas. Simple.
And do not get on a cruise ship.
Oh. Yeah, since you brought up the coronavirus, one thing that I found interesting was the doctor that kind of blew the whistle on it. I think it was one of several doctors that he was reprimanded by the government for making people panic about this new virus. Back when it started, before it became a problem, he ended up catching the coronavirus and dying. And I thought to myself, yeah, he was offed by the government. The odds of dying from this coronavirus are not good. It is not a particularly fatal virus. So this doctor catches it, and then he ends up dead. Yeah, he was offed by the, you know, some Chinese Secret Service for sure.
Oh, definitely. And, of course, China doesn't care whether you know that they did it or not, because you're not going to do anything about it. So, but also, and I don't know if you've heard about this, I was talking recently about this virus was actually in a Dean Koontz book called The Eyes of Darkness. This was brought up, I think it was written in 96. And then also Stephen King's book, The Stand.
They mentioned a coronavirus?
It didn't mention it specifically, not in The Stand, but in Dean Koontz's book, it mentioned exactly where in China that this originated.
Oh, Wuhan?
In that laboratory, in that town. Yes. Yes, it named it specifically.
Is that kind of like The Simpsons when they predict the future, like Donald Trump being president? People
yep,
are predicting the future and don't even realize it.
Yep,
well, I will say this about
disclosure.
The coronavirus is, I'm not super knowledgeable on it, but I see it all the time. Coronavirus is common, and it's one of the things that we test for during our respiratory panel. Now, this coronavirus that came out, they're calling it, you know, a novel coronavirus, which means that it's, you know, it's a mutation or strain that they haven't seen. But coronavirus in general is, I mean, it's common, and viruses change all the time. So I don't know.
It's like now they're, instead of them calling it flu A or flu B, they're calling it coronavirus, which is your flu C. They'll vaccinate you for A, and then B is the strain that comes out for the year. So you get your flu shot, you're getting a vaccine against a strain of flu that's not even floating around. So you're going to get, you have a chance to get the flu that's actually running rampant. Makes no sense why they some places make it mandatory that you get a flu vaccine.
Well, I declined mine. Last year, influenza A was the one that was dominant, but it is very clear that this year it is influenza B, because for every 10 positive influenza Bs I see, there might be one A. And what the difference is I have no idea, but they are just different types. I can't remember the specifics.
Is one more contagious
both bad
than the other?
No, I want to say that B is slightly milder than A, but either of them you don't want to get.
No,
I've also seen I've seen some other viruses recently.
Isn't it funny, though, that the flu comes out during the winter?
Well, I guess it makes sense if people are staying indoors more in close quarters. Or that's what they tell us anyways.
Yeah, but it's like during the summer you don't hear anybody that's caught the flu. But all of a sudden, whenever the weather cools up, now people are getting it. To me, that just doesn't make any sense.
It's a big conspiracy. That's probably when the government releases the flu. They release it, you know, over the winter to thin the population for Agenda 43 or 21 or whatever that was. And it's probably the global depopulation part of it, you know. I'm sure.
Yeah,
we should probably... You should never leave the house. You should get like Uber Eats or like Grubhub for your food and never leave the house. Turn off all your electronic devices. And better yet, pitch a tent in the middle of a forest.
Well, middle of the forest would probably be better because, you know, if you had food delivered to you, then you still have all that human contact with your food. Because you don't know if they've sneezed or whatever in your food or whatever and you're eating it.
That's true. Well, you could just eat berries and chew on bark.
There you go. There's all kinds of stuff out there in the woods that you can eat and survive on.
Yeah, like grubs and earthworms and bark, and like stay away from berries unless you know what they are. You don't want to eat any poison berries and get raging diarrhea in the middle of a forest. Yeah,
there's certain mushrooms that you can't eat because they're poisonous.
Oh, that's one of the things that freaks me out. Like, I'm paranoid about mushrooms. I love mushrooms, but, like, if I go to a restaurant and they're putting, like, fancy-ass mushrooms on something, I'd be like, I'd be afraid to eat them. Because there was a case many, many years ago in San Francisco where the restaurant went out and picked their own mushrooms, and they picked the wrong ones, and, like, all these people started turning yellow and dying.
Oh, not good.
No,
not good at all.
Fair. Yeah, button mushrooms, okay. And did you know, I found this out, I like freak out over everything. It's what I do, it's how my brain works. I was like putting raw mushrooms, like What were they? I can't remember which one they went. They weren't the button ones. But they were another one. I was putting raw mushrooms on my salad, and I was like Googling mushrooms, and it's like saying that mushrooms are toxic unless cooked, and I was like freaking out. So apparently, mushrooms, when they're uncooked, even the button ones, have a toxin. Not necessarily that it's going to poison you. I suppose it could. I mean, everything about life is quantity. So unless you're eating a whole bucket of these mushrooms, it probably won't kill you. But I didn't know that. I didn't know that they, even the common mushrooms, have a toxin in them.
Well, apparently it's not too bad because you find them on salad bars all the time that are not cooked, and you just sprinkle mushrooms all over the place, all over your salad.
Yeah, I love it. I'm addicted to mushrooms.
Mushrooms are good. Stuffed mushrooms are even better.
Oh, yeah.
Big portobello mushrooms.
I'm looking.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. That'll give you something else to want to put in with your meal tonight.
I mean, I'm a mushroom and onion freak, let me tell you.
Oh, do you like the green onions or do you like the white ones better?
Probably the white ones, but I like green onions. And I was like, I'm always like when I'm going to get my nachos, I'm like, oh yeah, can you put extra onions on it? And it occurred to me, why am I craving onions? So I Googled it, and that's like a thing, and it's really interesting and completely not paranormal at all, but physiological, that people have certain cravings, but their body like subconsciously craves things that their body needs. It's crazy. So there's something in onions that my body craves. It's just fascinating how your body knows what it wants, but you're not consciously thinking about, hey, I need onions because I need this vitamin. You just get the craving for it. It's fascinating.
Well, that's just like, I never liked chicken livers, fried chicken livers. Never ate them. But when I was pregnant with my son, I wanted to try them so bad. So I bought me some, and I've liked them ever since. But they're high in iron.
Mmm.
Apparently, my body needed more iron, even though I was taking an iron supplement along with the normal prenatal vitamins. But yeah, fried chicken livers are good. Have you ever had any?
If I had, it's been ages.
You got to eat them with mashed potatoes. Need to get you some.
Fried chicken livers. I'm sure I could find some fried chicken livers in Portland.
I would hope so.
I like liver. I like liver.
I've never had beef liver.
Liver pate. Smear that on crackers.
Well, now, wait a minute. I like, oh gosh. I can't think of the name. Braunschweiger. You ever had that?
Uh-uh.
That's liver. It's in a, you can buy it in a little tube where you slice it. It's a little round tube. That's good. You need to try that. You just put that on crackers. That may be
a southern thing.
I don't know.
What's it called?
Braunschweiger.
Well, that's a weird name. I'll try and remember that.
I'll Google it and send you a picture because you'll never remember it.
Yeah, send me a picture. I'll see if I can find it. Somebody just brought me a plate of ribs and mashed potatoes, so that's my cue to bail because I'm starving.
Oh, my gosh. She's awesome. You have an awesome woman.
I know, right? I'm pampered. Like, I don't ever have to get out of bed. She'll do everything. Bring me the porta potty, whatever. We're good. I'm getting a weird. Okay, she's saying she won't bring me a porta potty, but you get the idea.
Yeah, we get it.
she says number two, and I'm on my own. Well, that's okay. I'd rather be on my own anyway.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, Lord, we've been all over the map today, but that's okay because it's fun when it's just me and you and we could just be goofy and talk about whatever. And just want to thank all the listeners for tuning in to another crazy episode of Paranormal Horizons. Unless you have anything else, Maria, I'm going to dig into this grub.
Hey, you jump right on into that. Enjoy
yourself. I'm
going to
dive right in. Oh, yeah. Food porn. All right, with that, thank everybody for listening tonight. Thanks for tolerating our craziness. And no, we weren't abducted in the Chick-fil-A drive-thru. We were making that up. And with that, bid everybody adieu. We'll see everybody 8 p.m. next Sunday for another episode of Paranormal Horizons. And hope everybody has a safe and wonderful week. Good night, everyone.
Night.